dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds they roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the sky. Let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm it passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds they roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the
thank you so much for the fruits and nuts. I don't know if I've ever been honored in such a way before, and I wish my wife could have been here to see this. I hope it's on video. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I'm sure it probably came from the dream life of Pastor Terry Angel. And so it is just a dream come true to be preaching in my roommate's church. You know, when you're in Bible college, you always dream, you know, what is someone going to be? Remember, Brother Cecil Ballard, does he have anybody here from his church? I think he was. When we were still in Bible college, I remember how we dreamed of being pastors and evangelists. And I think Brother Cecil was still in diapers at that time. And we were just dreaming he'd get out of juvenile hall one day. And so it's exciting. Thank you so much for the great spirit here this evening. I enjoyed both choir specials. And the best choir, in my opinion, was choir number 1 and 2. Okay. Tell you what, I'm glad I'm not a judge. I was reading in the Bible earlier, judge not that you be not judged. And I would not be a judge here. That would be a hard one. Just so sharp and the matching outfits. And whew, I was sitting there saying, I hope our adult choir sounds that good one day. And I'm not kidding you. It was just tremendous. Anybody in the balcony tonight? Don't be like Eutychus. Fall asleep and roll over. You remember that? It kind of killed the church service. You remember that? It was pretty bad. Maybe I'll tell you the balcony story tomorrow night. Maybe we'll tell that. If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, shortest man in the Bible, Nehemiah. One of the great heroes of the faith. I've always looked up to him. And just a great, great thing. God loves the short people. Have you ever noticed that? It's no accident God commanded David to kill Goliath. Just no accident. God hates tall people. And it's true. It's biblical. Bible says, lo, I am with you always. It says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Not those high children. Little Bobby Brendel, the shortest evangelist in the world. I think he's 3'6". And his wife said, his wife's way up here and he's way down there. He said, my wife calls me sweet and low. And he said, but in heaven we'll be equal. So he said it, I didn't. So if it's kind of corny, all right. Seems like yesterday I was walking into the E dorm at Howes Anderson. Of course, Brother Terry Angel was my roommate. Brother Jim Blaylock, Jack Scott was our roommate, Tracy Ross. And we just had a tremendous time. I came in the dorm late. I'll never forget as the marijuana smoke was billowing out from under the door. I don't know who was smoking it, but I know three of the guys were just inhaling and just said, we're not smoking it, we're just inhaling. Of course, I always got there after the smoke cleared, so I never got high. I just kind of stayed low. And so that was just kind of it there. So I am from Napa, and as your pastor said, Napa is the wine capital of the world. That's why he's enjoyed several trips out there. And it's just been great seeing that wine train go down the tracks and your pastor waving, and it's just been a great, great time. When I moved there, I found out that we were known for the wineries, 365 wineries. And then also we're known because we have the largest mental institution in the state of California. I thought I recognized a few of you here today. And so oftentimes I'll say we're known for winos and weirdos. And that's just kind of it. It was rather exciting the first time we had Brother Gomez. I know we have a large crowd here from Elgin. And it was wonderful because we go way, way back. I was there the Sunday he got saved. And I was always that little teenage boy. Will you take me fishing? Will you take me hunting? Because my dad wasn't in the home and I was always pestering your pastor. So one of the first times we had Brother Gomez to our church, I remember how Brother Smith had the photograph of Brother Gomez before he got saved and after he got saved. And the before was the long, wild look, the hair and the beard the before and the after, anyway. So I got a hold of that picture. So when Brother Gomez came to our church to speak for the first time, we had posters all over our building. Come see Pastor Keith Gomez, you know, before and after. And, you know, a great preacher and church builder and author and finisher of our faith. No, that's somebody else, but author and just all these things. But I made one special poster and I put it on the door of my office. And it read like no other poster because I knew he'd look around, oh, they're advertising me preaching, and he'd just look at the one on my door. So we doctored it up. It said, come see a man, Keith Gomez, before and after. Come see a man who's done every sin there is to do. Been in and out of prison his whole life. This man has murdered. He has killed. Drug addict. And then bold letters, homosexual tendencies. So I'm in my office, and we only made one like that. I put it up just before he came just to fire him up. And so I'm in the office, and I hear, what? So it is wonderful to be here tonight. It is exciting. You know, it's hard to believe, but it just seems like yesterday I was at these teen competitions like this in 9th and 10th grade, and we went the cheap way. We never had motels. We slept on the pews. I'll never forget, in the olden days, we slept on the pews. We never heard of fundraisers. Guess where we bathed? One water hose, one at a time. Is anybody looking? All right, your shower now. And we bathed in the baptistry. Man, talk about a cheapo way to go. And so that was my memories of these days here. I have no idea why we were telling. Oh, now I remember. So this summer I hit 50. Brother Gomez happened to be there. Him and Carla were in the service. And he had come up. Josh was doing better in the hospital. He drove up to speak that night. So as he came out on the platform with me, all of our choir came out, and I didn't realize that they were all dressed in black. Black jackets, black shirts, black tie, everything's black. And the women had on veils. And I said, what in the world? And they started singing, happy birthday, you know, in the minor key. And the women started weeping and wailing. Then one of the deacons brought out a wheelchair for me to sit in and a walker. And I said, man, only independent Baptist churches would do this. Then Brother Gomez got up to preach, and we'd given out signs for everyone to hold up. Don't kill Bambi. God loves animals. Please, rescue the parish. I mean, everyone. Mrs. Gomez had a sign up, animals are people too. He said, wife, put that down. It was so funny. I'm glad we can have a good time in the house of the Lord. And I got saved when I was in the seventh grade, grew up in church, and I've been in church my whole life. I don't have a testimony that I got drunk and did drugs and was wayward and in prison and then got saved. I grew up in church. I've been in church since about age seven. I don't regret one day of it. One of our men recently said, I'm giving up smoking and it's hard. And I said, I've never smoked. I think I'm starting this weekend. I think I've missed out. Oh, no, Pastor, don't do it. I'm going to start drugs this week. I'm going to start drinking this. You haven't missed out on a thing. It's wonderful to just stay in the house of the Lord. It's just a wonderful thing. Thank you, church here in Bourbonnais. I've heard so many wonderful things about building projects and the growth and your faithfulness here. You are to be commended. And I believe with all my heart, you've got one of the top pastors in America. And I know you know that. And if you don't want him, we want him in California. There's 26 counties without an independent soul winning church right now. Maybe some of you preacher boys will one day consider that. And maybe go west, young man. Go west. The South has enough churches. Go west. And they need some pretty girls who can sing to follow them out there and surrender to be pastors' wives. Okay, anyway, moving right along. We're in Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's stand in honor of the Bible. And we don't have much time to preach. We're just going to dismiss in prayer now. But I'm trying to comfort your pastor. I'm going to put my glasses on so he'll know he's not the only one getting older. And I did get a can of that gray spray so I could spray my hair so he would think he's not the only one. But we're here in Nehemiah, please, chapter number 8. We'll get right into the message. Nehemiah chapter 8, and looking down into verse. Can I tell you one more story? Can I do that? I mean, we're kind of here, right? All right. First time I met your pastor, here it is, and you're going to think I'm lying. We were in the dormitories, and there were these trains parked on the tracks just very near the college. So I remember one night I said, if I'm ever going to learn how to preach, I just need to get on an empty train car and just quote scripture and just learn how to be a preacher. I get on this train car, it's pitch black, and I start quoting, you know, all the verses I know. Jesus wept. And several others that I knew, I can't recall the rest of them. But I was trying to quote these verses and have that loud preacher's voice, pitch black, and I heard, hello? And I said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And out of the darkness came a big old hand. Terry Angel's my name. Mike Ray. And that was that long friendship that started many, many years ago. And I appreciate him. Nehemiah chapter number 8, please. We will read it before the evening concludes. Nehemiah, Esther, one verse. Let's look down quickly here, please. Nehemiah chapter 8 in the Bible says in verse number 10, then he said unto them, and of course this is Nehemiah, the wall has been finished, they're having a feast, they're having a party. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. Now, that is a command for you adults, you that are on the Atkins diet. By the way, how's Mr. Atkins doing right now? Eat the fat, drink the sweet, that's for you people that the diet colas. Drink the sweet. Now, this is You know, either we're going to do it or we're not, folks. I mean, this is Bible. You say, well, this is Old Testament. Ten Commandments are Old Testament. All right. Drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. That statement is found one time in Scripture. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where you're going to get strength for the tough days. You adults already know what we're talking about in many ways, and that's where you've had to get your strength. I guarantee in a group this size, not everyone has been laughing the whole way here. And even during the choir competitions and this week, there will be heavy hearts. For a few days, you may forget your burdens, but they're still there when you get home. We come to church, and it's all hallelujah, and I love to sing it. Boy, I like that song director. You know, I hope he moves to California or something. I like Brother Tom. I like that guy. Man, he is with it. He won the competition tonight in the song leading competition. But sooner or later, we have to get this joy from the Lord. We'll pray. We'll just jump right into the message. Father, bless this time. Thank you for the privilege of representing you. I pray that tonight somehow someone from heaven would look down and say, that is so true, that truth. I pray that we'd listen on purpose. Thank you for those that have invested in these young people, especially the adults who've taken time out of their schedule, away from work, loss of money, loss of sleep, much work to compete. Bless. Help folks pillow their heads tonight saying, it was great to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Pastor, I do not know how I'm going to make it. Our finances are tough. I've lost a loved one. My child has gone wayward. The test is positive. I have leukemia. They think they're going to have to amputate the leg. My answer, don't even try to make it without joy. The world is searching for it, and we know in all the wrong places. You won't find it in liquor. That's why they have to keep going back and going back and going back. You won't find it in drugs. You won't find it even in money. The rich and the famous, the lives that we think are so stellar and such an example to us, many of those are committing suicide. Solomon, the man we thought had it all. He had women. He had wine. He had servants born in his house. He had fame. He wrote books of the Bible. People traveled across the country just to seek his wisdom. He had popularity. He says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He said, therefore, I hated life. Solomon had everything we think it takes to make a person happy, and he was suicidal. Happiness comes from without. Joy comes from within. Joy is always from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy comes from the Lord. There's joy in heaven, mostly when a person receives Christ as Savior. Then there's always joy when a person gets right with God and comes home. Maybe you heard the story. It's in a book. I could show you the book. True story. A woman had a parakeet in her cage. She got tired of changing the paper. For you bird lovers, you know what we're talking about without getting in detail. There's paper at the bottom of the cage. So one day she decided, I'll just vacuum it out with a hose. So she opened the cage door, and little Chippy, her parakeet, backed up a little bit. She put the vacuum cleaner inside of the cage and started sucking up the debris. Well, the telephone rang, and as she answered the phone, the hose went up and Chippy went in. It wasn't long before the phone call was ended, and she looked for her pet bird, Chippy, and Chippy was sucked into the vacuum cleaner bag. Quickly, she opened the vacuum cleaner bag and pulled little Chippy out. He's got debris and all sorts of things all over his body. So she hurriedly puts him under the water faucet and turns the faucet on to wash Chippy off. Chippy now looks like a drowned rat or maybe a bird stock from the Peanuts cartoon. And she goes, oh, he's going to die of pneumonia. Now she gets a hair dryer and begins blow drying Chippy off. And his hair and his, not his hair, his feather. I went to Louisiana schools. Feathers are all blown back. And she puts Chippy back in the cage. True story. She said, Chippy lived, but he never sang again. He just kind of looked out of the cage and stared blankly. You ever feel like Chippy? Man, you go out in the world, you try to live for the Lord, and you just kind of get sucked up. and then you get rained on, and then you get hot wind blowing in your face. Then the world says, sing! Sing to us! I've kind of felt a little bit like that. Without the joy of the Lord, we cannot make it. Without joy, it's like a carpenter without a hammer. It's like a soldier without a weapon. It's like a child without a toy, and a church without a Bible, and a hospital without a doctor. It's not hype. It's not emotions. It comes from the Lord. Sometimes we sing that little children's song, I've got the joy, 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 joy. Well, at least in California we sing that. I don't know if it's come out here yet. Down in my heart. And then the last line is, down in my heart to stay. What we ought to sing is, down in my heart for a little while. How come it doesn't stay? It doesn't always stay. We can come to church and have joy, but sometimes it doesn't stay long. Maybe you read the story about the grandfather. When are you going to get to the message? I'm almost there. Two of you hadn't smiled yet. And so we're still working on it. I may even share one of my cashew bars here. Grandfather fell asleep on the couch. You've heard the story. He had a mustache. One of his grandchildren thought it'd be funny to rub some Limburger cheese in his mustache while he was sleeping. Another true story. If I say something else true, I'll let you know. He woke up. He stood up. He began sniffing. He said, it stinks in this living room. He thought his wife was trying to cook again. It stinks in this living room. He walks into the kitchen. He said, it stinks in the kitchen. He walked in the backyard. He says, it stinks in this backyard. He walked in the front yard. He says, the whole world stinks. And I found that when you lose your joy, pretty soon marriage stinks. And it's not long before the kids stink and the job stinks. And the choir stinks, and the sermons stink, and the Bible stinks, and all of life stinks. It's not it stinks, it's that you've just lost your joy. What is joy? It's the smile of God on your face. It's that spiritual pep in your step. It's that giggle that just won't quit. It's that strength that comes from the Lord. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's inner strength. It's the spiritual second wind, if you will. Notice that phrase, the joy of the Lord is. It's got to be present tense. You say, Pastor Ray, what stops joy? All right, if I don't have it, how come? If I don't keep it, how come? Here it is. One thing stops joy. It's never circumstances. It's sin. Psalm 51, David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I remember as a teenage boy, I got saved when I was in 7th grade. 9th grade, I went to teen camp. I remember waking up Brother Smith and saying, Brother Smith, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. What happened? I've lost my joy. Used to be the first to church and the last to leave. And then after a while, I was the last to church and the first to leave. I lost interest. What happened? I lost my joy. Years ago, I had a car. I had a Plymouth Fury. And something happened to it and the brake lights began going out. The dashboard. Something with the fuse, as I was thinking. I remember bringing the car to the repair shop and a police officer pulled me over. He says, your tail lights don't work. I said, thank you, officer. That's why I'm going to the shop to get it fixed. He said, well, here's a ticket for $75. Just kind of to remind you to fix it sooner. I said, thank you, officer. We pray for you every day. Drop dead. That was my prayer. I pull into the shop and the guy says, what's wrong? I said, yeah, the lights, the fuses are going out. He says, all right. A few minutes later, he came back with a penny. He held up the penny and he said, that's your problem. I said, what do you mean? He says, do you smoke? I said, not unless Brother Angel's in the car with me. No, I don't. And he says, I bet you put your change in your ashtray. I said, yep. And you pulled out your lighter, didn't you? Yep. And he said, and you slammed that ashtray and a penny went down inside of your lighter, hit that fuse, and it shorted out your lights. I said, thank you for that. I appreciate that. He said, that'll be $35. One penny cost me over $100. One sin will cost you all of your joy. Whether it's an outward sin, an inward sin, a known sin, an unknown sin, whether it's bitterness or worldliness or murder or coveting or greed or whatever the sin is, God says, I won't give you my joy if you allow sin in your life. That's why it's so important to confess it every single day. Heard about a man one time, a friend says, you must go to heaven at night. You seem so happy all day. Jesus had it. Can you imagine the multitudes following a grouch? Jesus, what is this lad's lunch among so many? Give me your lunch, kid. Slap. Is this all you've got me? I can't imagine it. Here's Peter walking on the water. I'm sinking, Lord. Drown, buddy, drown. Jesus wasn't a grump. Had the little children came to me, blessed. Get these kids off of me. I hate kids. No, thousands followed him. Why? I believe he smiled. I believe he laughed. I think he could tell a joke. I think he could tell a knee slapper. People love to be around people that are fun. That's why our movement, we put the label in, fun, damn, mental, list. It's four syllables. You can emphasize any one you want to. If I'm going to emphasize one, I'm going to be fun, fundamentalist. I don't get it. I can tell. Jesus had a reason for misery. He was homeless. He said, birds of the air have their nest. The foxes have their holes. Son of man hath not where to lay his head. He was hungry one time, went to eat fruit off of a fig tree. He was hungry. He had a bounty on his head. They were trying to kill him. They called him names, glutton, wine bibber, devil. And he had joy. Even nailed to the cross, being crucified, yet for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Why did he have joy? He was thinking of you. He was thinking of this Pilate's conference one day, and young people sold out to God. He says, though I'm hurting and though I'm in pain, I've still got joy. Can't take his joy away from him. He sang a hymn the night before he was crucified. Let's sing. That's joy. Paul and Silas had it. They're in jail. You remember that song? Father Abraham had made it. No. It wasn't that one. That was Cecil Ballard. I think that was right in that. Their backs are beaten. They're in the stocks. And at midnight, they sang. The jailer came in. What must I do to be saved? You think he got saved because of all their preaching? I don't believe so. They said, who's singing at midnight? Who's praying at midnight? You've got something I don't have. Whatever it is, I want it. The Acts, the early church was said to be drunk. They said, you men, ye look drunk. And they said, we're not drunk, we're Baptists. It's only the third hour of the day. We don't start drinking till the ninth hour of the day. That is kind of funny how they worded it, isn't it? They said, we're not drunk. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time someone asked if you were drunk? And you weren't. I was walking to a store years ago in Baton Rouge. I was youth pastor. I was whistling one of the hymns. Brother Graham, I don't know what it was. It was, I think, it's Monday and Tuesday's coming or something like that. I think it was one of those. I think that was it. Cecil Ballard was my choir director, and that's the only one he taught us. But I'm just kidding. But it was one of the hymns. It was something like this. I think this was the tune. One of those hymns, you know, Barney Fife hymn or something like that. And I was whistling at the counter. The guy behind the counter says, man, you look happy. I said, yes, I am. You'd be happy, too, if you were going to heaven one day. He bowed his head. He says, I am, but I'm not right with the Lord. I said, man, you ought to come to our church sometime. Gave him a tract. He showed up at church, got his heart right. That was at Brother Buchanan's church. Soon surrendered to preach. He was baptized there, went off to Bible college. Finished Bible college. He's pastoring a church right now in Carbondale, Illinois. Not because of great soul winning, because of whistling. You know, maybe what we need to do is just get some people on the sidewalks just with those signs, just smiling. Forget the door-to-door, smile! How many of you teenagers have your driver's license right now? Would you slip your hand up? Oh, we're in more danger than I thought. Okay. How many adults still have your license? It's not been taken away yet. Some of you got it back, huh? Okay, good. You ever drive a borrowed car? Have you ever borrowed someone's car? Years ago, I was in Baton Rouge, and Brother Stacy Marriott said, here, your car's not here. Borrow mine. He threw me the keys to his Toyota. I got in it. It was on E. You know, that's usually how Baptists let you borrow their car because they know you're a better Christian than them and you'll gas it up. So he throws me the car. I said, Stacy, it's on E. He said, it's Toyota. E don't mean E. Man, you got 30 more miles on there. I said, okay. So I'm wondering, does E mean E or almost E?
But it's one thing about driving a car. When your car is filled, you've got the air on, the music blaring, revving the engine. You know, here's a Corvette next to you, and you got a Volkswagen. You know, your mood is better. And then when you're on E, have you ever noticed how tense you are? Turn the radio off. How's that help the gas mileage? Then you're saying, you ever pray for God to do a miracle and put gas in the gas tank? You know, it's like, Lord, you're part of the Red Sea. You fed the manna. The manna fell from heaven. Please put gas. Be God, a God of the mountains. Put gas in this tank. And here's what happens. You're driving, you're saying, man, I hope there's a gas station up here. Man, I hope there's a gas station. And you see one coming. You go, oh, glory to God. You start to pull in. You say, no, the gas is too high. We'll go a little bit farther. And then as soon as you do that, you start seeing something in your mind. And here's what you start seeing right here. You see yourself carrying the little red gas can. People with little red gas cans always have money in their pocket. They always have credit cards. They had time to stop, but they thought they could go a little bit farther. You ever see a happy gas can carrier? I've never seen one. They're miserable. They're whining. They're cussing. They're gripey. You know, there's two types of Christians in the world. There's those that pull up to what we call the joy pumps that God has. Then those that think they can just make it without it. And their whole life, they're in the youth group. They're a grouch. They bring the gas can to the competition. They bring the gas can out soul winning. They bring the gas can home when they get home. They bring their gas can to Bible college. They bring their gas can down the aisle to get married and say, I do. They bring it on their honeymoon. Some of you tonight, you need to put the gas can down and pull up to what we call the joy pumps. Well, the fumes. That was a good year. What are the joy pumps? I just want to give them to you quickly here tonight. Sometimes you don't have to pull up to the joy pump. Just smell some of the props that the Brother Hansen brings you. First pump, here it is. Learn to laugh at yourself. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Merry means light-hearted. Some of you are way too heavy-hearted. You know that? Sometimes someone can say, hey, how you doing? And you say, what do you mean by that? I moved to California. I kid you not. First week I was in town, I waved to someone. They pulled the car over and said, what do you want? I was just waving. Learn to laugh at yourself. I've told the story recently. When I was little, I was born real little. I grew a little bit slower. Some of you, anyway, we're not going to get on that tonight, but I was 3'6" in first grade, I was about 3'6". Not a midget, just small. I've not always been this hunk of a man that you see here tonight. We moved to Panama City, Florida when I was in Louisiana. I got off the public school bus. True story, I walked down the hall and I heard these words, there's a midget on the campus. And I'd never seen one. I'd heard of them. I'd heard of leprechauns. I'd never seen a midget. And there he goes. And it was, where? There? Where? And I kept missing him all day. Finally, someone said, there he is. I said, I am not a midget. We moved back in the fourth grade. I'd heard a sermon at church. We walked by faith, not by sight. So I thought maybe I could ride my bike by faith, not by sight. Had a high handlebar green Schwinn banana seat bicycle. So I went a block and a half with my eyes closed until there was a parked car right in front of me. Hit the car, flipped over the car, hit the trunk, bit the trunk, chipped my teeth, ran home, spit teeth out, looked in the mirror. Now I had 2 points for teeth that looked like vampire fangs. You won't believe this. My mother worked at the blood bank drawing blood at the Lady of the Lake Hospital. My dad was a salesman in Transylvania, Louisiana. About that time, my eyes began blinking a lot in school, and the teacher said, send Mike to the eyeologist. So I had to go to the eye doctor, and at that time, they would just put the dilating drops in your eyes, and you look like you're on drugs. Then they'd shine these big lights, and they'd say, what do you see? Nothing. And he said, just as I thought, you need glasses. And I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want glasses. Back then, in the 60s, you didn't have much choice. No contact lenses. It was the black professor glasses or the Y-rim Yoko Ono Beatles hippie glasses. I got the professor glasses. I looked in the mirror. I blinked. It just looked like a big fly. So now it's a midget vampire fly. Not long after that, my feet began hurting. So my mother took me to the foototologist. They x-rayed my feet. And the doctor said, you've got flat feet. You have no arch. And no longer can you wear dingo boots, cowboy boots, tennis shoes, slip-on shoes. You have to wear lace-up, black, steel-toed, reinforced, corrective shoes. They weigh about 5 pounds each. Clunk, 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 clunk. Not long after that, in school in seventh grade, the teacher called roll. They said, Ray, it's my last name. I said, here. I began stuttering. She said, who was the first president of the United States? I said, his name was Lincoln. She said, correct. It was a Louisiana school. You couldn't miss. Then about that time, my asthma began kicking up. Finally, someone invites me to church. Brother Bob Smith preaches this first sermon. He says, hey, now I look like a midget, wheezing, vampire, flat-footed, fly, midget, fly. And he goes, God loves you. My heart said, oh, yeah. So why do you tell that? Because sooner or later, you're going to have to be able to look in the mirror and be okay with who you are. If you're tall or short or big or small or whatever nationality, or you're Heinz 57, or you're like a man in our church, one blue eye and one brown eye. You know, it just didn't come all together somehow. Or you got one big ear and one little ear or no ears. Why are you listening if you don't? Anyway. You need to be able to look in the mirror and say, thank God, God makes no mistakes. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, look at this. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Years ago, I got married. And I didn't feel good one day. I'm on the couch. I said, no, I think I got fever. My wife wasn't paying much attention to me. Yeah. Men, you know how that is, don't you? Yeah. Oh, we work hard. Isn't it funny? When a man gets ill, the whole world has to stop. When a woman gets ill, take an aspirin, keep helping with the kids, and keep going. Not when a man gets sick. I'm laying on the couch. I said, man, I don't feel good. She fills my head. No, man, you look fine to me. I said, man, I'm hurting. I think I got fever. When she wasn't looking, and I don't think I've ever told this, I stuck the thermometer under the hot water. Stuck that thing back in my mouth. I said, man, check this, babe. She pulls it out. 106.5! Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Oh, you were, hey, we need to fill up the bathtub with ice. I said, no. I think I'm a little bit better. She about killed me when it was over with. Years ago, I was doing, at our church in California, we kind of treat our adults like a big teen group. Most of them got saved in their 20s and 30s, so they got saved later. They never went to a teen conference. They never went to teen camp or a teen activity. So we have a lot of fun in our church. So for New Year's Eve, we don't just have 48 sermons trying to get people right with the Lord the last 2 minutes of the year. We strap 500 balloons to the ceiling, 25 pounds of confetti in those big bags. People get hats about 10 till midnight, the buzzards and the blowers, and it's a big countdown, 5, 4, 3, and then it pulls down, and it's silly. I mean, it's the wildest thing. And there's confetti, and we keep finding confetti all year long. I mean, it's in the song racks. You know, the cleaners try to clean it. And we have those floor vents, the ancient floor vents in the older buildings, you know, for the air and the heat. So every once in a while, it'll blow up. Not long after the New Year's Eve service, I did a funeral. Here's this dead guy in the casket. And I said, man, it sure is hot in here. Someone turned some air on. I kid you not. Confetti just started blowing up all over the building. Like, he's dead! He's dead! We have a man in our church. You say, when are you going to get to the message? I'm almost there. We have a man in our church. He's a World War II hero.
He was a pilot in the Battle of Midway, dropped a torpedo bomb that helped sink a Japanese destroyer that helped turn the war. He was shot down, was in a raft 17 days. His two comrades starved to death. He woke up in the morgue with the sheet over his head, and he was still alive. Then he was also at Pearl Harbor. He was in both places. He's 90 years of age, a good man. That movie, Pearl Harbor, came out several years ago. You're not going to tell a 90-year-old man, you can't go to movies, son. He's going to do what he's going to do. He went to the movie, pulled into the parking lot, opened the door, tripped over the curb, fell down, ambulance had to come get him. He said, Pastor, I survived Pearl Harbor, but I didn't survive the movie. First pump, learn to laugh at yourself. Second pump, quickly, get saved and know it. Get saved and know it. My mom got saved. My dad wouldn't come to church. He claimed to be an atheist. But week after week, the pastor and a godly man would knock on the door. We'd be in bed watching television like any good Baptist family, Andy Griffith or Flipper or, I'm not sure, my Lassie, Come Home, something. And then knock on the door. I kid you not, my dad running from God, he'd look out the curtain and say, shut the lights off. Shut the TV off. It's the preacher. And the whole house went into a power outage. Dad, what's wrong? It's the preacher. Dad, leave. Turn it back on. We jump back in bed, watch TV the next week. It's a preacher. Turn the lights off. A grown man running from the Lord. And it wasn't long till he called the pastor on the phone and said, whatever my wife and kids have, I want it. He met the pastor at the office and got saved on his knees right there in the office. Did a 180, turned his back on his lifestyle, quit drinking, quit smoking, did all that stuff. Hey, get this. His last mafia payoff with the mafia, with the murderers, with the bank robbers. That was my dad's crowd. Daddy got saved. Brother Bob Smith said, so we need to start a bus ministry here in Louisiana. We need to reach these little bus kids. He said, I found three buses for sale for $1,200. If anyone has any money, let me know. My dad said, I'll be right back. We said, what? Our whole house cost $10,000 where we grew up. Dad came back a little while later with 12 $100 bills, put them in Bob Smith's hand, and the bus ministry was birthed. Dad, where'd you get that? The last mafia payoff. Okay, moving right along here. Pump number three, we're hurrying. Prayer and Bible. In thy presence is fullness of joy. The testimonies of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You'll always get joy in this book. You'll always get joy in prayer. Heard the story of a carnival. They wanted a big attraction. They wanted a animal fight. They found out a cobra's only enemy was a mongoose. They'd always find dead cobras next to mongoose dens. So they captured a wild mongoose and captured a cobra. They billed it as the fight of the carnival, and hundreds of people paid good money, and they were gathered. And so they released that mongoose. He ran up to bite the cobra. The cobra bit him. A few minutes later, he died. Show ended. They said, what went wrong? They began investigating. They found out when a mongoose built a den, he would always build it next to some leaves that were anti-venom. So when he would bite that cobra, he could run back to his den, eat some leaves, bite the cobra, try to beat the cobra down, get bit again, eat those leaves, bit again, eat those leaves, and finally kill that cobra. As Christians, we go out into the world, we get bit. We better come back and feed on these leaves right here. And we get bit again, and these leaves, it's these leaves right here. And that's the joy of the Lord. You don't have to tell someone, hey, I spent time in prayer this week. It shows up. You don't have to tell people, I've been walking with the Lord. It just always shows up. You say, what's the next joy pump? Quickly, preaching. Preaching. Acts 8:8, it says, when Philip preached in Samaria, there was great joy in that city. You know, I wish Brother Terry, we could video our church members coming in on Sunday morning. Have you ever noticed kind of how anemic we look? Sunday morning, you know, we kind of look like some mummy off some horror show. I made it, Pastor. We didn't want to come, but we're here.
Because we're the assistant pastor. You know, we're kind of there and we kind of plop in the pew. You better have it today. Man, we have no energy and no strength. Then what happens? Song leader gets up. Hey, we're going to sing Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin. Love lifted me. Pretty soon you're singing it. And man, it's like a spiritual IV. Pretty soon there's blood is starting to pump. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within. Sinking and rise nowhere. But the master of the sea, woo, heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Christ, wow, glory to God. Man, we're shouting. Then the announcements. And then open your Bible, God's holy word. And pretty soon, what's happening? The Bible is called inspired. The word inspired means God breathed. When you're in church, it's spiritual. CPR. And you're going, yeah. Hey, Sunday morning, church out. Glory to God, Pastor, you had it. See you tonight. Next Sunday morning. That's why preaching is so important. It's three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We need it. Years ago, and anyone who's ever preached, youth directors, staff, anyone that's given devotion, school teachers, you know what I'm talking about. We're told to measure our teaching. Don't pour it all out. Don't give them the whole bottle of medicine. But it was one of those Sunday nights, Brother Terry. And I kind of had it up to here. You always have it up to here. I can just have it up to here. And I found out a couple was struggling. Looked like they were going to divorce. So a woman was starting to move in to make her move because she had a crush on this man. Found out he had been counseling her and she had been counseling someone else. And it was just, it wasn't the whole church, a couple of couples. And I was pretty upset. And I said, there ought not be any man counseling another man's wife in this church. There ought not be any of you women. You vultures, you're coming after these bad marriages, you vulture. I mean, I had the sound effects and all that. And kind of the better it felt just putting it all out there, Brother Woodward, I just said more. I said, if you're a man in this church and I find you trying to counsel my wife, I will gladly do your funeral. And I backed up. And I will gladly spit on your grave. I don't know where it came from, but boy, it felt good. Then I just closed my Bible and I just walked out the side door. Man, look, off limits. Should have known. I got in my car, no invitation, I just drove off. Went home. You know, it's fun living in the pastor's family. My wife came in the door. Whoa, 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 whoa. Woo! And then two grown daughters. Dad, what did you have for supper? Whoa, whoa. Said, it's true. I know it's true. We just never heard you say it like that. Woo, man, I think they got the message. Then the boys came in. Hey, Dad, you are with us. You tore it up today. That's easy on Sunday night, and then you wonder on Wednesday if anyone's coming back. I came back to church that night. Thank God for encouraging people. Thank God for people who encourage a pastor when he goes down on a limb. Thank God for the young people that encourage the youth director and the pastor when they take a stand and say, keep it up, pastor. I needed that. Don't back off. Came in that night. Someone had decorated the pulpit. It had cardboard flames all over the pulpit. They had a cooler inside with dry ice and smoke was pouring out of the pulpit when I came in. They had a big sign on it. They had these jalapeno peppers hanging off the microphone and these Taco Bell sauces. Inferno. Very hot. Yes, screaming hot. And a big sign. Keep the pulpit hot! Yeah. That's what it takes. It takes people who want it hot in the pews and a pastor who is hot in the pulpit. Church will give you joy. I guarantee you. Some of you came in tonight and was like, man, I hope we get something. Man, I'm struggling. And right now, the heart's beating, man. It's like, hey, man, I can hang on another week. I can go through this. I can make this. I can make it, pastor. We have a lady in our church. Her name's Judy Bowie. Judy's a single parent. Had a tragic accident years ago. Sleeping in her house. Up on the hill. A garbage truck. 3 a.m. Picking up garbage. Up on a hill. The man sets the brake. Gets out of his truck. The brakes failed. The truck went down the street. Hit a curb. Went through her house. Hit her in bed. Ran over by the garbage truck. Broke all her body. Almost died. Now she's raising a grandson by herself. Several months ago, she finds out she has leukemia. And the medicine's not working. She sits right over here in our church. She says, pastor, I love church. And I know you think I'm going to live. I don't think I am. I'm trying to figure out what to do with my grandson. But I just want you to know, I live week by week on your sermons. And God is so good. And she sits there and smiles. And she's not in denial. What is she? She's full of joy. You can have joy at a funeral, though the tears flow. You can have joy through grief if you pull up to the pumps. We have a lady in our church, drunk driver hit her about 8 weeks ago. She had gotten out of her car to go around the side and strap her kids in. She was going around the back. Drunk driver ran into her car while she was standing there. Cut both her legs off. She's just half a little woman now in the hospital bed. I send people up there to be encouraged. Pastor, God is so good to me. I could have died. I could have died. I've still got life, and I'm still saved, and I've still got my children. Her legs are gone. Guess what? She's been pulling up to the pumps. She's been pulling up to the joy pumps. What else? Say, pastor, what's another one? And I'm hurrying. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Years ago, Brother Angel had a bus rider on his bus. And the bus rider was deaf and blind. Could not see, could not hear at all. That rider would get ready week after week, ride that bus, rode my bus one time when we combined bus routes. Someone was able to communicate a little bit on their hand. And they said, why do you bother coming to church? You can't see anything. You can't hear anything. You cannot possibly get anything out of coming to church, riding an old bus, 35 miles. Why do you bother to come? He wrote back on their hand, to show whose side I'm on. Amen. You may not think you have much to do in your local church or your teen group. You may think no one would miss you if you were gone. But someone's watching you. And every time you sit in that pew, and every time you fulfill your duty in that church, someone is watching whose side you're on. Tonight you voted to be on the side of the house of the Lord and on God's side. Faithfulness will give you joy. Not only that, one day at a time. Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to make it through college. What grade are you in? 7th. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know who God's will is to marry. I'm in the 9th grade and I don't know yet. Oh, I knew when I was in 9th grade, it was 3 or 4 girls, man. Every year it was someone different was God's will for me. I'm glad they didn't have that prearranged marriages. Boy, my mom picked out some real losers for me. Son, how come you don't like so-and-so? Mom, have you seen her up close? Went to Brother Howes' office one time. He said, son, who are you dating? I said, nobody. Man, I got a bus route. I'm too busy today. He said, you rascal. He pulled out the yearbook and says, what about her? I said, Brother Howes, she is 6 feet tall. Anyone fly fish? Fly fish? You know the thing about a fly fishing pole, and I'm not the best at it. I've done it several times. You pull a little line out. You're looking for that trout or whatever the fish is. You're trying to put that fly right in front of its nose. You don't pull out all the line and then say, now let's try it, because you're going to get all tangled up. That's why it's called Monday, Tuesday. It's not Wednes month, Thurs year, Fry millennium. It's just today. Well, I don't know if I can quit smoking the rest of my life. You don't have to. Just today. I don't know if I can overcome rock music in my life. Rest of my life. You don't have to. Just today. I don't know if I can be a soul winner the rest of my life. You don't have to be. And I'm glad that days are only 24 hours. Sometimes it gets long, and at the end, I'm glad to say, "Woo! Glad that one's over." Phew. You want a deep thought? You say, "Man, that's a shallow preacher." I know. Well, here's your deep thought. You ready? The Bible says in heaven, there's no night there. So guess what? Everyone in heaven is still on their first day. When Mrs. Gomez went to heaven recently, she stepped on the pearly streets. She bumped into Marlene Evans and some of my other friends up there and Brother Hiles and all these loved ones we have. "Brother Hiles, Miss Evans, show me around." "Well, I've just been here a day myself. It's still my first day too. And it's all new. It never gets old. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning." And I don't know the rest of the song. What's the joy pump? How do you get joy? Where do you pull up? Hang around children. You get around children, they are your strength. They'll make you forget yourself. Therapy. People who have terminal diseases, that bring children up to the hospital. Why? It gives those people strength. When I was new in our church in Napa, I was the song director, the janitor, the baptizer, the greeter, the usher. Man, that is exciting. One time I had this boy walk the aisle. I said, "Son, why have you come?" "God bless you. Why have you come?" He says, "I'm looking for the bathroom." Said, "Wonderful." "It's right out those doors to the right. We only have one. Just right out there." "That's a great decision, son. God bless you." Hey, a lot of people made the same decision. We had a lot of decisions that day. Same one. Just get around children. Quickly here, the second coming of Christ. Second coming of Christ. We'll have joy at His coming. Thessalonians talks about, I believe with all my heart, we're living in the last days, the last minutes. It's coming. And I know how you teenagers are. "Can he wait till I get married and have kids?" I'm sure he will. Looking at some of these guys I saw sing tonight, probably not. Probably not. He's not going to wait till you get married. He does want to come back one day. He's coming. For some of us adults that have had enough grief and enough problems and enough tears, we'd be glad if we heard that trumpet sound right now. So what's the joy pump, Pastor Ray? Here's another one quickly here. Giving. Giving. And God loveth a cheerful giver. Before I got to our church in Napa, the church was stepping out by faith. They were going to sell the building. "We can't make it. A church can't be built in Napa. We're going to sell it." Big step of faith, wasn't it? That little handful of people were meeting on a Tuesday night to vote to sell the church, disband. Dr. Jack Treber heard about it. He drove 86 miles. He just sat in the back of the meeting. They said, "We can't do this. We got these bills. We got these bills. It can't be done here." He stood up and said, "I know I'm not a member here, but what am I going to tell my son why there's no independent soul winning church in Napa, California?" He said, "I can't cure all your problems, but I've got $1,000 I'd like to give tonight to help keep this church open." And when he gave that money that night, someone else said, "You know, maybe we can keep it open. I'll give $1,000, and I'll give $1,000, and I'll give $5,000, and I'll give $1,000, and I'll give $3,000. One man's giving kept that church open, and there has been tens of thousands of people saved since that meeting. Giving. There's a joy in giving. That's why at Christmas time, we're all joyed up, not in receiving. It's, "Oh, they're going to like what I got them. Oh, man, size 42. Is that his waist or his neck?" It's a certain excitement about it. There's also another pump, and I'm hurrying here. You say, "When's it going to be finished?" Hey, that's one of the pumps, too. I'll be glad. I'll be joyful. And this one is soul winning. That's right. They that sow in tears to reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Someone asked me a while back, they said, "Pastor Ray, do you ever baptize at your church?" Biggest guy I ever baptized was 6'9". You know, I think our members bring the tall ones just to see if I can do it, to be honest with you. It has nothing to do with compassion. We got a big one coming this week. Well, man, how about the little people? Say, so how'd you baptize that guy? I said, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in newness of life. When people get saved, it's joyful. Say, so what was the biggest guy you ever baptized? 430. 430 pounds. We've got this big robe. It is 6 yards of material. It's just kind of stitched here and just a little opening here. I mean, it's like a tent. And we call it Shamu. True story. When we have a large man like that, I'll say, Shamu, Shamu, Shamu. They'll put that robe over him. This guy started to get in the water, and we pastors cheat. In California, most have never seen baptism, so they wonder, why is the pastor so dry? He just baptized. He's out here shaking hands. How does he do that? And I always tell him it's a mystery. It's like the Holy Eucharist becomes the body of Christ. It's almost like that, you know. You know, because we cheat. We use those fishing boots. So I've got my boots on. He starts stepping down the water, and man, it is high tide. It's pouring in my boots. I'm getting sopping wet. The guy looks at me. He says, you're going to be able to give me up? I said, man, I don't have to get you up. All I have to do is get you down. You'll get up. They always do in our church. There was a man several years ago. I led to Christ. Then he led his daddy to Christ in prison. He went into the Lord through the glass over the telephone. On Father's Day, his dad got out of prison, spent half his life in jail, tattoos all over him. He said, hey, I'm Ernie's daddy. I'm getting baptized today. He said, man, I heard. God bless you, man. I'm so glad you're here. I mean, he's got tattoos all up his neck, teardrop. He's got the Providence Baptist College tattoo here. And who's that? A Chicago Bears tattoo. I mean, Brother Woodward, a little Green Bay Packer tattoo on his kneecap. And so he starts to get in the water. And, man, he's got tattoos all over his legs, all over the back. I mean, just tattoos, vulgar ones and all kind of things. And prison tattoos. He's getting down in the water. He says, now, Pastor, I just want you to know, done a lot of sinning. I tried to act shocked. Half his life in prison, tattoo. You? Yeah? Yeah, me. I said, well, God bless you. He said, I want you to do me a favor. I said, what do you want, man? He said, hold me under a little extra. Do what? We were in a building project, and everyone knows pastors kind of lose it during building projects. That's why Noah got drunk. And God never reprimanded him for it either, I don't think, in the Bible, after the building project. But anyway, he said, I want you to hold me under a little. He said, I'll tap you when it's time to let me up. I said, man, you got it. At this point, our building's not finished. We're out of money. I could care less. And so I said the words, and most people were not paying attention. You know, if it's not your convert, if you don't know the guy, you know, people are text messaging people, and they're filing their nails. You ever not pay attention during an invitation? The pastor says, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who's lost and going to hell? I've seen people do that. And then they're, whoa, man, their head's down. So people were not paying much attention. And finally, I said the words, baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, bearing the likeness of his death. Pretty soon, I had everyone's attention. The man never tapped my hand. The following Wednesday at his funeral service, finally I said, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. I kid you not, people, he's alive! He's alive! They start cheering. It's a wonderful thing. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When I first got to our church, we had a pianist, I guess. We had a man that had been saved out of a nightclub, and everyone got mad when I came. Song director left, organist left, staff left, I mean, everybody left. And I got this guy, they called him Snake Man. He had a ponytail down to his waist. He owned 99 snakes. Kept them in his basement. Rattlesnakes, black mambas, cobras. He had two or three very large bull constrictors. He'd put them around his neck, walk around the park, lay them down to sun. They just called him Snake Man. Got saved out of the nightclub, got his hair cut, so he became our pianist. And it would come out in our songs. It'd be amazing. Tom! Oh, all right, Pastor. He was a barber. We started teaching about soul winning. You know, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He'd come in, Pastor won 3 today. Tom, you did? Yeah, sure did. Really, where? He said, my barber shop. You know, I'm the barber. You know, just me there. So, well, how'd you win them? He said, well, Pastor, you know, I just took that straight razor and held it to their throat. If you died today, if I slip right now and cut your throat, where would you go? I don't know. Would you like to accept Jesus? Yes! I won 3 today. Tom, it's not how you do it. There's a joy in it. And then last, we're out of time. What's the other joy? It's the joy of finishing. Well done. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy. Maybe you heard the story. 2 missionaries were sailing home from furlough. They had worked hard, not seen many results. They felt kind of neglected, not many letters. No one ever visited their mission field. They're on the ship. They're heading home. There's the dock in the distance. They said, I wonder if there'll be anybody there to meet us. I doubt it. 2 men of God, discouraged. Now, the closer they got to the dock, they started hearing noise. There's a band playing. Hundreds and hundreds of people gathered on the dock. And they said, look at that. They didn't forget us. They're here to greet us. After all our years of labor, they didn't forget us. As they got closer and closer to the dock, they looked at the eyes of the people. They noticed they were not looking at them. They were looking up at the top deck. Big cruise liner. They looked up. It was one of the presidents of the United States. They'd come out to see him, not them. One missionary bowed his head in grief and began to weep. His buddy looked at him and said, hey, man, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. We're not finished yet. I close with this. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan, if you'll pardon the expression. The Saints have always had a losing season. They're one of the most consistent NFL teams in history. I was watching one day and it looked like the game was close. Just a few seconds left to the game. Saints were losing by about 3. There's a fumble. The New Orleans Saints player picks up the ball and begins running. No one's close to him. They're going to win the game finally. I'm watching this. I'm saying, look at this. And the announcer said, folks, he's on the 50. He's on the 40. He's on the 30. He's on the 20. He's going all the way. He's on the 15, the 10, the 5. He spikes the ball on the 5-yard line. And the other team recovers. The guy had not been in the end zone in so many years. He thought he was already in there and spiked it early. Folks, you don't want to spike it early. I'll close with this. Hey, you just said that, I know, but joy just keeps you going sometimes. I got saved in Baton Rouge, Louisiana when I was almost 13 years of age. Bob Smith, my pastor, he preached. It was his first Sunday. And, of course, I was too nervous to walk down to the front and get saved. I laid in fear all night long. I knew I was lost, going to hell. I got up that morning. I said, Mom, I need to get saved. She said, well, do it. Walked into the living room, knelt down by our couch right there at 5705 St. Jared Street, and I began praying, and I knew God saved me. When I was off at Bible college, my parents moved. They bought another house. I never got to go back in that house after I went to Bible college. And my brother got all my stuff. You know when they move, Brother Terry, you know how that is. So I never got to go back in. I'd pull in the old neighborhood and I'd stop and I'd say, thank you, Lord, for saving me in that little house. Never got to go back in. Several years ago, I was back speaking in Louisiana. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I want to drive by the old neighborhood. He said, okay, son. We pulled up. I said, hey, look, it looks like they're remodeling it or someone's about to rent it or something. It looks like some carpenters are walking in there. I said, I'm going to see if I can go in. Stopped a man. I said, sir, are you the owner? He said, no. Some new renters have just moved in. He said, we're just getting some tools out. I waved at someone inside. I said, ma'am, are you the new renter? She said, yes, I am. I said, I used to live here. I live in Napa, California now. I grew up in this house. I said, I know it sounds strange. I said, could I come in and just look around? She said, oh, it's a mess. We're just moving in. I said, I know. I don't care if you don't care. She said, okay. I walked in the house and a little bitty Cracker Jack's living room and a little kitchen and walked down the hall. There was bathroom. Then there was my little bedroom and my brother's, my mom and dad's bedroom. Then my brother's, still messy as it always was, still messy. I came out and I said, ma'am, and before I leave, this spot right here in this room is very precious to me. That's where I became a Christian. She said, really? I said, you go to church anywhere? She said, you know, I don't. You know, I was raised Baptist a little bit. I said, do you know if you died, would you go to heaven? No, I don't know. I said, would you like to hear it before I leave? She says, sure. We sat at the table, went all the way through the verses, got down to the prayer. I said, ma'am, would you want to pray at the same spot I prayed at 35 years ago? She said, I would. And as she knelt in the spot I had knelt, it seemed like I could hear a voice up in heaven. I remember this place. I was here 35 years ago and saved a little old 12-year-old boy. And that same hand reached down and lifted her out of the miry clay and set her feet on the solid rock. You know what's exciting about that? I was glad I could come back after 35 years and say, I'm still serving. I'm still doing it. Finish. Young people, it won't be long if Jesus tarries. Your pastor, myself, will be the old men. Maybe you'll be helped up on a platform someday or in a rest home or with a cane or a wheelchair. But we won't be preaching anymore. We won't be sound in mind. Maybe we'll be blind or deaf. And it'll be you heading up the pilot convention. Finish. You'll be glad that you did. Amen. I've never met a happy quitter, have you? No. I used to be in a ministry. How's it going now since you quit? It's wonderful. Well, it's great. Never seen that. I left my wife for a young chick. How's that going? How's the kids love you now? Terrible. You'll never meet a happy quitter, ever. Just finish. You'll be glad that you did. Throw that hat off in Bible college. Wah! Like what Brother Gomez did. I was there for his graduation. He threw that hat off, looked at that diploma, and said, sorry, Charlie, you still owe us $6 in the financial booth. 4 years. Sorry, Charlie. Throw that hat up. Just finish. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on the service tonight. These people have had a long day, and I've probably went way, way, way longer than I should have. Thank you for the sweet spirit in this room, your love, your joy. Thank you for giving us something that keeps us going through the tough times. And they've all come. Everyone in this room has been through some. Pray that people pull up to the pumps tonight. Help them stop blaming you and others. It's me, oh Lord. It's sin, parts we haven't pulled up to the pumps. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder who's here tonight. Say, Pastor Ray, I'm just going to be honest, and we're not going to play any games tonight. When you were talking about sin stopping our joy, there's a certain sin came to my mind. God says, that's the reason the joy's not there anymore. You've lost your joy. You've lost it. Sin took it. It's never worth one sin to be walking down life with a little red gas can. I hope you'll make it right tonight, whatever it is. I wonder who's here tonight. You'll be just real honest. You'll say, Pastor Ray, I had that joy at one time. It's gone. No one's fault but mine. God pointed out to me what I have to do to get it back. Would you pray for me? Would you slip that hand up? Anyone like that just all over the building tonight? You know who you are. It's a terrible place to be. I've been there. I know exactly where you are. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. You may lower them. Wonder who's here tonight. You say, Pastor,
You name 10 or 12 pumps tonight. They're some of the pumps I've not been pulling up to very frequently. Tonight I need to get back to some of the pumps of my life. You can pull up to the same one all the time, or you can pull up to all 10. They're everywhere. Who's here tonight? Said Pastor Ray, there's some pumps I need to pull up to. Would you pray for me? Would you slip that hand up all over the building? Thank you. You may lower them before we pray. He said, what happens when you pull up? You'll see a nail-pierced hand. Take that pump. Say, fill her up. He'll always be there to greet you because he loves you. Just a few moments, we'll have an invitation. The music will play. No better way to start this pilot convention than being filled with joy all week long. It's the secret. It's the secret of the Christian life. Whatever you need tonight, I hope you'll humble yourself. If you need to make a trip to the altar, fine. If not, that's fine. Heavenly Father, bless now every hand lifted, every heart represented. Lord, just in case someone's struggling with their salvation, no one will ever have joy till they're saved and know it. Pray that tonight that settle that as well. Thank you for the sweet spirit, the leadership, everyone that's here. Deal with our hearts. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed. Let's quietly stand if you need to come.